Very important subject. Faith. And I want to contrast it with something that many Christians believe is faith and is not faith at all. Jesus said in Mark's Gospel, the 9th chapter, the 23rd verse, He said, "All things are possible to him that believeth." Anything is possible to a man who believes, who has faith. Turn me down a little bit, Jack. I believe I'm a little too loud here. Everything is possible to a man who has faith. If you can believe, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said that anything was possible. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so we see that from the words of the gospel and from the words of the epistle, that if a man can live and walk and act in faith, nothing's impossible for him. And that when a man lives and walks and acts in faith, he is walking and living a life that is pleasing to God. As a matter of fact, numerous times through the Old and the New Testament, we are given the very simple instruction, the just, that is the people of God, the justified, shall live by their faith. Unfortunately, very many Christians and a high percentage of church members do not really understand what faith is. A high percentage of Christians and an even higher percentage of church members as a whole are living on presumption and not faith. I want to contrast for you this morning the difference between true faith, which will allow all of the promises of God to come real in your life, in the presence of which nothing is impossible, and is that character and quality of the Christian life that God's Word says that every Christian ought to manifest. That is true faith. Faith, for the purposes of our discussion this morning, is believing and acting upon the truth. John's Gospel, the 17th chapter and the 17th verse, the words of Jesus Christ when He said, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." Faith is believing and acting upon the truth. And Jesus said that the Word of God was the truth. Therefore, true Bible faith, the kind that the Christian is to live by, means believing and acting upon God's Word. Presumption, on the other hand, can also be a lifestyle. But presumption is not believing and acting upon the truth. Presumption is believing and acting upon something which is assumed to be true and may or may not be true. It is taking something for granted which is not fully established as truth, believing it and acting upon it, and more's the pity, a high percentage of Christians and a higher percentage of church members are living according to presumption. Many Christians today, many large ministries, many great men and women of God who have served and lived for God a long time are operating in the area of presumption rather than faith. Faith, true faith, has as its foundation the Word of God. I want to say that again. True faith, the real article, the kind that makes every impossibility a possibility, is always based and founded, anchored in the Word of the Almighty God. If it is not founded on God's Word, it is not faith, but it is rather presumption. Now let me give you some examples from the Word of God. Are you there in Romans chapter 10? The 17th verse I want to take this morning as our foundation, and we're going to go from there. What really is faith, and where is its foundation? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you want to know, am I acting in faith in this particular decision that I'm making, or this particular aspect of my life that I'm believing God and I'm confessing a benefit and God's blessing, is my belief and is my action, is my, quote, faith based upon the Word of God, or is it based upon an unproven assumption? Would you read the verse with me again? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. One more time, aloud. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. True Bible faith comes only from God's Word, and apart from the Word of God, it is not faith. Regardless of what you may think it is, regardless of what somebody else says it is, if it is not founded upon God's Word, it is not faith. Many Christians are living today what they believe is a faith life. Many Christians are walking today what they believe is a faith walk. But they are terribly frustrated, many believers. They are terribly fretful. They are terribly disappointed, and they are terribly confused, because a high degree of the faith walk that many Christians are living today is not based upon the Word of God, but is based upon what they wish or hope or think. And it could better be termed a life of presumption rather than a life of faith. Now turn with me, please, to the book of Deuteronomy, the first chapter. Now this is a message that you will want to hear all of it, so that you understand exactly what I'm saying. I wouldn't want you to get the first two chapters and base your impression of it on that without hearing it all. So please, if it's at all possible this morning, if you don't have to be somewhere, especially if you stay for the entire message, I'll appreciate it, and I know it will be much more beneficial to you. Deuteronomy, the very first chapter, beginning to read in the 19th verse. This is the recounting of the story of Moses and the children of Israel in their attempt to enter the promised land. Verse 19, and when we departed from Horeb, that is Mount Sinai, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, and neither be discouraged. Now we remember the story. God had spoken His word, and He said, go and take the land. I have given you the land. They sent 12 spies in, and 10 of them came back and said, it's a terrible land as far as the people in it. There are giants there, and we can't really take the land. They wouldn't believe. 2 did and said, we can take it. God's with us. He said we could, and we're able. Their faith was anchored in the Word of God. But because of the 10 who brought the evil report, the congregation did not go in. And in verse number 26, Moses recounting that experience, he said, notwithstanding ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And then as Moses went on to give them the word of the Lord, you'll remember what happened. That God said, because you would not go up and take the land as I told you, for the 40 days that the spies were in the land, 1 year for every day, I will require this nation to wander in the wilderness 40 long years, until such time as all of you who rebelled and refused to obey the word of the Lord die a natural death, and I will raise up a new generation who will believe my word and act on it and go into the land. When the people heard that, they were greatly distressed. And in verse number 41, then ye answered and said unto me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight according to all that the Lord our God commanded us. And when ye had girded on every man his weapons of war, ye were ready to go up into the hill. And the Lord said unto me, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest ye be smitten before your enemies. And so I spake unto you, and ye would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and went presumptuously, keyword, presumptuously, up into the hill. Not only did they not have the word of God, they had the word of God in opposition. But they presumed to do their own thing, and they went up into the hill saying to themselves, oh, God's with us, we're God's people, God will honor what we're doing, and so now we're going into the land. The Amorites which dwelt in that mountain came out against you and chased you as bees do and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Hormah. And ye returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. They did not have the word of God to base their faith on. They operated in their own presumption and assumed that God would be with them, and he was not, and they were destroyed. Now there are many Christians that are doing the same thing today, believing that God is with them in a certain area and moving out on what they call faith, and they find when they get there that God's not with them. Now let me give you an example of what I mean. I believe that this is the kind of thing, beloved, that is happening today in certain of our large ministries, where there are great men and women of God who have been magnificently used of God in the past and have decided, because God has always honored everything they have done, they have decided, well, God's with me, and so whatever I decide to do, that's God, and he will honor it. And so we decide, well, we're going to build a $50 million thus and so, and how are you going to build it? Where are you going to get the money? Well, we're going to do it by faith. We're going to do it by faith. Come on out here with your shovels and let's start digging. And we're going to believe that God is going to sponsor this and that God is in this, when they don't have the word of God. Now, that's what I mean by presumption. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are individual believers today that are doing exactly the same thing. Now, God's word says this. Beloved, I wish above all things that ye prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. 3 John 2. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But he didn't say how. And I hear Christians talking about, well, by faith, I've got that job. By faith, I'm going to do this. By faith, I'm going to make $100,000. By faith, I'm going to... No, you won't, unless you have the word of God. Now, God will prosper you. You have that word. But you do not have specific word about how, unless he speaks to you. Now, listen to me carefully. It will save you a great deal of spiritual anguish. Because what happens is, when you get out in the middle of your $50 million building and you only have it half completed, everybody comes by and begins to mock because you did not have the word of God when you started. You didn't count the cost when you began. You presumed upon God and said, God is with me, when he never said he was. And it brings great reproach upon the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you an example from our own local ministry here. And the reason this is becoming so important to me personally, and why I want to minister it to you, is something that the Lord has shown me about our own ministry. God has spoken to us about a school. I don't know how many of you know, but I know that we have God's word on the school, that he wants us to build a school, and that he wants us to plan a school, and he wants us to move ahead with the planning, readying it. And if you ask me, are you going to have a school at Water of Life? I'm going to say, yes, sir. On what basis? On the basis of my faith in what God said. When are you going to have the school? I don't know. Where's the money going to come from? I don't know. Why don't you know? Because God hasn't spoken. And now for us to go out, you see, and say, well, God said build a school, and therefore He's going to supply the money, and we need to do it right away, and so let's get out there and get started. No, that's presumption. It's presumption. It's not faith, because we don't have the Word. Now, when God says start, and when God says this is the way the money is going to come, and this is the way the facility is going to be built, then we move on that. Then you're operating in faith. Anything other than that is presuming upon God. And it's using God rather than God using us. You know that God didn't fill us with the Holy Spirit so we could use Him. And do you know that there are a great many Christians that's exactly what they want to do. They want to use the Holy Ghost like a magic black box. Well, now I got this box attached to my life. Anything I want, all I have to do is hit the magic button and I've got it. Won't work. You'll be a disappointed, frustrated, fretful believer. You cannot believe God without His Word. I want to tell you something else. Our churches today are filled with unsaved people. Why? Because their salvation is not based on the Word of God. Their salvation is based on presumption. They are presuming that they're saved because they've been baptized, because the preacher said that they are, because they're a member of that church. And there's no foundation for that faith in God's Word. God's Word says, whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now you see, you can't have faith to get saved until you hear the Word of God. That's why the preaching of the Word is so important to us. Paul says that by the foolishness of preaching, many get saved. The preaching of the Word of God is what provides the foundation for people to call upon the name of Christ and be saved. I can tell you from my own personal experience, 37 years I sat in a traditional church hearing less than the Word of God. My salvation was one of presumption. If you would have asked me, are you saved? Are you going to heaven? I said, I am. I sure am. I thought sure I was going to heaven. I didn't find out until I really got born again how deceived I was. And my salvation was one of presumption. Now, you may be here this morning and be in that same situation. Your salvation, your faith in God, is not based on what God said, but based on what men said or what you think is right. I venture to say that if you would talk to the average church member today, I praise God that these percentages would not apply in this place. But I would venture that if you would say to the average church member today, I'm not talking about the one that goes Christmas and Easter. I'm talking about the regular church-going member. Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die? Some of them would say, well, I think so. You'd have a high percentage of them in that category. Of the ones that said, yes, I know I will. When you ask them this question, on what basis do you know for sure that you're going to go to heaven? And if you had to stand before God today and He asked you the question, why should I let you into my heaven? What answer would you give Him? The overwhelming majority of today's church members would answer something along this line. Well, I've done more good than bad. My life has been primarily good. I've never done anything too bad. Now, is that true faith? That's presumption, and that person's lost. I want you to know if you've been washed with the blood of Jesus Christ, you're going to know it. You're going to know it. Much of the salvation that people have today is presumption and not true faith, because it's not based on the Word of God. You can't believe on Jesus Christ unless the Word of God is preached to you. Turn with me now to the book of Joshua, the first chapter. Second verse. This is 40 years later. Moses is now dead, and God is ready to take this new generation into the promised land. And he's speaking here to Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now here is the word of God. During that 40-year stint in the wilderness, I want you to know that if they had attempted to presumptuously go across Jordan into the promised land, that the same thing would have happened to them as happened to that bunch of fools, presumptuous fools, back there at Kadesh Barnea that I read to you about out of Deuteronomy 1. God's word had said, it'll be 40 years before my people go in there, and I'll take them in. And anybody who wants to go earlier is going to have to go in presumption, not faith, and they're not making it. Now, this is what happens to Christians today. They get operating out on the edge of presumption, and they get left out there high and dry. Or what they're believing God for doesn't come to pass. Or everything just turns to mud on them. And they say, well, what happened? I'm living by faith. I'm walking by faith. I believed God. Well, what are you believing God on? What are you anchoring on? Well, I just believe God. He's a loving God. No, it takes more than that. You must have His promise. You must have His word. You must have His specific promise, or what you have is not faith. If you want to find out how true faith works, just read the third chapter of Joshua, how Joshua took the people across by parting the Jordan River. Now I want you to turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Matthew. And I'm going to draw you a silly picture, but it's one that will make a point, I believe. In the 14th chapter of Matthew, Jesus had sent His disciples across the sea. Late in the night, or rather early in the morning, Jesus came to them walking on the water. You remember the story? Verse number 25, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. Now what's Peter asking for? Give me Your word. Let me have a word on this. Speak to me so that I'll have faith to do it. Give me something to anchor my faith to. If it be Thou, bid me come to Thee on the water. And He said one word, come. But that's all that was necessary. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, wouldn't it be foolish if I were to say on the basis of that scripture, well, bless God, Jesus said for Peter to come and he walked on the water, therefore I can walk on the water. And so for me to, while we were up at Altoona there yesterday, for me to go out there in the middle of that water in a boat, just step out of the boat and begin to walk. Now, you'd think I was a fool, wouldn't you? But I'm anchoring onto that. No, I'm not. I'm presuming. You see, that word is not spoken to me. That word's spoken to Peter. If I want to walk on the water, Jesus is going to have to talk to me to walk on that water. And if He says come, then I'll have faith to come and I will walk. And so will you. I want you to know that at the last trump, when that trumpet sounds and Jesus Christ says, come on, bride. When He speaks the word, bless God, faith is going to rise up on the inside of you. The Spirit of God is going to quicken your mortal body, and you're going to do some things you never thought you ever could do. But for you to decide to do it today would be presumption, you see. You don't have God's word. A lot of folks, you see, they want to do all these marvelous things and don't have the Word of God, and so they're operating in presumption and are terribly disappointed, terribly frustrated, terribly agonized. There are those that would like to sit down to a nice meal, nice big spread. I know I shouldn't eat all this because I'm overweight, and what I'll do is I'll just pray over this food. I'll just ask God. All things are possible to him that believeth. I mean, come on. Doesn't it say that? Whatsoever things ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Father, I believe that these calories will not enter my body and that it won't make any difference for me to eat all this. Now, I'm using foolish examples in order to establish a point. You know what God's Word says? God's Word says in Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, the 2nd verse, put a knife to your throat if you're a man given to appetite. You see, the way to stop putting on pounds is to stop putting the food in, not pray over it. That's presumption. It's stupidity. But you know Christians are doing that today. They're doing it today. We have, it's very unfortunate. It's tragic, really. I watch, and I'm sure you do too. You get the letters in the mail from these wonderful men of God, women of God, who love God and have done great works for the Lord and have gotten off into presumption, not realizing it, thinking that it was faith, have gotten off into presumption. And then you get their letters. If you don't come through for us, we're going down. If you don't send us your money this month, we're going under. If you don't send us enough money this month, we got to go off the air in your area. Now tell me what that is. Is that ministry operating in faith or foolish presumption? But you see, what happened was they got off into presumption in the beginning and would not wait on the Word of God. I want you to know that as a Christian, the hardest thing for me to do is to wait. That's the most difficult thing I do every day is wait. I tell you, I have some word. God's given me some word on some magnificent things. I mean, just thinking about it makes me want to jump up and down. But I don't have his word on the time. And I know that I must wait. And I've decided I will. I will wait. That's the hardest thing I have to do is to wait. And what happens with a lot of believers is being unwilling to wait. And I've done some of this too. I don't want to wait. And so I said, well, I'll use my faith. All you're doing is using your impatience. You follow me? Well, I'll just get that thing by faith. All you'll get is a pile of agony. You just get a mess. Now, there are some specific promises in the Word of God that belong to every man. Salvation belongs to everyone. The Scripture says, whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's now, right now, not tomorrow, because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. And that's something that we know belongs to every one of us right now because we have His Word on it. We know that the Holy Spirit belongs to every person. For Jesus said that your heavenly Father shall give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. And so if you'll ask, you can release faith in that promise. We know that healing belongs to us because God's Word says, by His stripes, ye, that means all of you, ye were healed. That belongs to us. That's a promise that God's given us, and we have His Word that we can exercise faith in that Word. 2 Peter 1:4 tells us that whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, but we must have the Word on that specific promise in order to anchor our faith. Anything other than that is not faith at all, but is presumption. Now, I want you to ask yourself when you're believing God. Now, We hear a great deal of preaching in the church today about faith. And it's good preaching. Most of it is good preaching. And it's something that the church needs desperately to know about because faith has been lost for hundreds and hundreds of years. And people have been operating on the basis of sight rather than by faith. But we ought to also know what real, true faith is. So that when we are believing, that we have an expectation that we're going to get that answer, that we're going to get that manifestation. I don't have any trouble at all believing for the healing of you brothers and sisters that we prayed for. I don't have, it's just no trouble at all for me to believe that because God has given the promise. But if you ask me, are you believing, Vic, that we'll have a school to open in 82? I want to with all my heart. That's as important to me as my life. I want to with all of my heart. But I can in honesty only say, I pray so. I pray so. I don't have the Word of God on that. And for me to say I believe so is wrong because I don't really believe. I don't have anything to base it on. I don't have the truth, only an assumption. One thing that you, I'm sure some of you have wondered about me in the past. It's just, well, gee, you know, there's something we really ought to be doing. Why doesn't he move on that? Why doesn't he get going on that direction? Why doesn't he do this? Or why don't we do this? Or why don't we do this? There are a whole lot of things that we ought to be doing. There are a whole lot of them. But I have made a decision based on the truth that I'm expressing to you this morning without really knowing why I was doing it. That until I have the Word of God, I'm not moving. And I'm going to give you this word of assurance today. Because of that, whatever we do here is going to be firm and solid and rock hard. And we're not getting in the middle of something to have it fall apart because we didn't have the Word of God to start with. Now, I don't want you to think that just every time you're operating in faith that you'll never have any difficulty, that you'll never have any problems, because that's not true. I know when you called me to be your pastor, it took me quite a while to respond to that invitation because I didn't have the Word of God yet. I had your request, but I didn't have the Word of God yet that this was something I was supposed to do. And I have hundreds of times thanked my God that I waited. Because there have been that many times from the time I accepted that call until this day that I have wondered, what on earth am I doing here? And I don't mean that critically in any way. I'm just the truth. Time after time I've wondered, Lord, what am I doing? What am I doing? And if I had been operating without having the foundation, God's Word, I would have already fallen. I'd have fallen. You'd have trampled over me, you know, as you were going on. But I had the Word of God. I knew what God said. And so every time those negative circumstances would come, I had that sure foundation. Look at Paul's life. Jesus came to Paul and said, I've called you to be a light to the Gentiles. I've called you to spread my word to the Gentiles. Does that mean that Paul had an easy life? He had one of the most difficult. And so, good circumstances, you see, you can't base your faith on good circumstances or bad circumstances. You must base it only and purely on the Word of God. Now, I want to show you one last point before we close on the topic, but it kind of zeroes it in. Turn with me to Joshua once again, to the very first chapter. I want you to notice something about God's Word here. Joshua chapter 1, God speaking to Joshua, and I want you to notice that every one of these promises that God gives general blessing promises. I call them coveralls. And a lot of folks, you see, they like to use these to cover their faith. They're a coverall. They can't find something in the Word, and they're not willing to get before God and fast and pray to get a definite word from God, and so they pick out a coverall and say, well, this covers my situation, and so I'm going to release my faith in this one. Now, I want you to notice something about these. I'm going to show you three out of the many that there are, coveralls. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What is this coverall blessing promise based on? It's based on a knowledge of the Word of God, because you cannot have faith apart from God's Word. All of these coverall promises are conditional upon your knowing the promises of God. And the Bible seems to be leading us or directing us to the kind of a walk with Christ that His Word is so alive in us and His Word is so rich in us that when we have a need, the Word that covers that need bubbles up on the inside, and that is what it means the just are to walk by faith. Then the impossible becomes possible in every one of life's circumstances. But it doesn't come when you hear the Bible preached 30 or 45 minutes in church on Sunday morning, or when you read it 30 seconds a day in a little devotion, or when once a week you maybe open your Bible. It won't happen. It's got to come from a knowledge of the Word of God, day and night. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. See, that's a coverall promise. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But watch verse 2. You see, day and night he meditates in the Word of God. He's so filled with the Word of God that he doesn't want to do anything except the will of God. And whatever he does, God's in, and faith is founded in the Word of God on those promises. And whatever he does prospers. Look at John's Gospel, the 15th chapter. Do you notice how in each of these situations the connection between the coverall promise and the Word of God? John's Gospel, the 15th chapter. Christians like this verse, but only a few Christians will ever pay the price to make this verse come alive. If ye abide in me, these are the words of Christ, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. If you live in my word and let my word live in you, then all you have to do is open your mouth and ask me whatever you want. But you see, if you're filled with the Word of God, you won't ask anything except what's promised here. So what am I saying? I'm saying this. All things are possible to the Christian. All of God's wonderful promises and blessings come by faith. But not a single one will come by faith unless you have that faith founded on the Word of God. Anything other than that is presumption. Well, I just believe my kids are going to be all right. Well, that's que sera, sera. And que sera, sera won't get your kids all right. But the prophet Isaiah said that the same Spirit that dwells in you and is in your mouth, I will see to it that that same Spirit is on your children and in your child's mouth. That's the promise of God. Thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their righteousness. That's a promise you can get a hold of. See, now that thing will bring your kids in. That thing will give you faith to produce that desired result in your children. And so on. We could go on and on, but I'm sure you understand the principle. You get the message. With faith, all things are possible. But anything that you are presently believing that is not anchored in God's Word is presumption, and it'll not last. It won't come to pass for you. You'll be a frustrated and perhaps embittered Christian because what you did didn't work. You remember that faith, apart from God's Word, is not faith at all. It's presumption. Now, I'm concerned about anybody who may be in this auditorium this morning whose salvation is based on presumption and not based upon the truth of God's Word. If you're not sure, I pray that you'll make sure today. Would you bow your heads with me, please? If you would have answered that question that I asked earlier, what would you tell God if He asked you why I should let you into my heaven? If your answer was, well, I'm a pretty good person, and I've done more good than bad, and I'm not as bad as most, I want you to know that that's not a good enough answer. You won't be able to stay. Because God said in His Word that our good deeds are like filthy rags. And we'll not gain entrance into heaven because of something good we did. There's only one way that we're going to enter heaven, and that is by faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He said, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to ask you this morning, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, nobody looking about, is there anyone here this morning in the congregation who needs to call upon the name of the Lord and say, Jesus, I call out to you. I want to be saved according to the Word. I put my trust in you based on what your Word says. Is there anyone that is in that category today? The worst thing that could happen to any person in this room today is that they would leave here and not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It's the most important decision that you'll ever make. Don't presume. Believe based on the truth, on fact. If there's anyone like that here today, would you just slip up your hand? Just raise your hand. Let me see your hand. Would say, Jesus, I call out to you. I want you to be my Savior. I see your hand. Yes, you may lower your hand. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Is there another? Anyone else? Jesus is calling. Work upon our hearts, Holy Spirit. Touch our hearts. New and fresh. Draw us to you. Do that work on the inside, dear Father. And for you who raised your hand and anyone else who perhaps wanted to but just didn't have the courage to do so, I want you to pray with me. I want you to pray right where you're seated. And I want you to reach out to the Lord in this way. I want you to pray, "Dear Father," just between you and God, "Dear Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. And I trust Him today as my Savior. Jesus," that's right, just talk right to Him. "Jesus, come into my heart. I call unto You. Be my Savior. Be the Lord of my life. And I'll live for You, no matter what the cost, forever. Thank You, Jesus, for coming into my life. I trust You. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen." Father, I pray for those who have prayed with me this morning. I ask You, Father, for boldness and courage to speak a word of testimony as to what has happened to them this morning. I pray, Father, that this man specifically who has raised his hand will express to those around about him as the service is completed, "Hey, I believed on Jesus today. I trusted in Christ for the salvation of my soul. I've become a new creature in Christ, and I'm going to live a new life with Him." Do that, dear Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God's good, isn't He? I believe every Christian wants to please God. Every believer wants to please God. It's the life of faith that pleases our God. The Bible tells us that faith, a life of faith, also gives us victory. That it's faith that gives us the capacity to overcome the difficulties of this life. As we prepare to close the service and leave the house of God, I want you to turn in your hymnals, please, to hymn number 71, concerning faith. Faith is the victory. Would you stand to your feet, please, and sing this hymn with me?
Salvation's held in on each hand, the truth of the Bible.
has given us this faith. You know, the Bible says that to every man is dealt the measure of faith. If you're a Christian, whether you've been a Christian just a couple of minutes or whether you've been a Christian many, many years, God has dealt to you the measure of faith. It's in you. It's basis, the Word of God. It's victory over death, over hell, over the world, over the devil, over the flesh, over all of the enemies of the redeemed man. Faith gives us the victory, and the Word gives us faith. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this faith that you've bestowed upon us as we've trusted in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father, for the ministry of your Spirit among us today. And thank you, Lord, that you send us forth with a new and deeper understanding of what it means to walk by faith. We would please you through the faith walk. We ask you, Father, to continue to minister these truths to us and through us to other believers whose path we cross this week. In Jesus' name, amen.